If you're a new school counselor or counselor moving into a new role, listen up. If you're a veteran school counselor who needs something spicy for next year's programming, this is for you too. I want you to check out the High School Counseling Planning Mega Bundle to give you a starting point for all of your students next year. It comes with a presentation and what I call a planning guide specific to the grade level. Of course, you can get them all individually, but when they're bundled together, they're discounted and you're more prepared for your students. Check them out at counselorclick.com/planning mega. Now, let's get into episode 23 of High School Counseling Conversations. High School Counseling Conversations is a podcast where we talk about exactly that, a casual potpourri of school counseling topics intended to grow us as school counselors, but also give us space to enjoy each other's company. I'm Lauren from Counselor Click, and I'm sharing my experiences and perspectives as a high school counselor. No topic is off limits, and I'm certain we'll cover it all. I'm your high school counseling hype girl, here to help you energize your school counseling program and remind you of how much you love your job. Whether you're just getting your feet wet as an intern or you're nearing retirement, you'll feel like you're just popping in to catch up with your school counseling bestie. Let's go. Welcome, high school counselor friends. This week, we're talking about setting personal boundaries in a counseling job. This topic sort of suddenly came up on Instagram this past week, so I thought, let's talk about it. As we're moving into summer, there'll be an opportunity to work for free, aka answer emails all summer. But this is also a time to rest, recharge, and take what you need for you over the summer. If you're a new counselor needing a pep talk, head back to last week's episode, episode 22, for a new school counselor pep talk. If you've been around the sun a few times as a school counselor, you know that as summer is coming, you need a break. Do you believe that you deserve that you need a break? I sure hope that you do. Maybe you've been noticing the cues from your body leading up to this point. I'm the kind of person who ignores all the cues until I'm crying into my dinner, realizing that everything indeed is not fine, even though that's what I've been telling everyone, including myself, for the past weeks or months. It's very easy for me to ignore the physical, emotional, and mental cues that I'm struggling. So some of the lies that I tell myself are, I can just keep pushing through. I'm tired, but so is everyone. Or, if I'm not going to do it, then who is? And then add on just the tasks that need to get done, and then worrying that somebody has to do them. Why should it not be me if I'm just doing all the things anyway? Let's spend this week's episode talking about the things we can do to make a positive change. Let's talk about some of the boundaries that you can set in your professional and personal life to give you the opportunity to actually recharge the summer and set some habits in stone as you move into next school year. Setting your own personal boundaries will turn into more intentional work-life balance and more intentional habits. This will help you stay in the profession you're loving for longer instead of burning out earlier. If I was going to choose rocks to lay as the most important for me to separate work and home, this is what they would be. The first strong suggestion I have for you is to take your email off your phone. It's the hill that I'll die on. I didn't say it was a rule. Remember, I said it was a strong suggestion because I know there'll be pushback from many of you listeners and probably pushback from the people who do want to be in touch with you 24/7. Some of you can't imagine a world where you're not connected to work and all of the people who need you there all the time. Or maybe you just wish that you could leave those connections behind, but it just feels too impossible. What's stopping you from trying it and just seeing what happens? Here's your first challenge. Delete your work email off of your phone. No apps. If you're really committed to this cause, I'd also say not to be tempted just to check in to see what Monday morning holds. For me, this caused a lot of anxiety because I knew I wasn't going to respond outside of work hours. I didn't want people to think that I was available at all hours. But then I just had to sit with whatever was in the inbox until the next day. I'm going to steal a line from Rebecca, my science teacher friend who is on episode 20 of the podcast. She's really big on work-life balance and keeping work and home separated. And she said to me one time, anxiety begs action. So when you feel like something is making you anxious, you want to take an action to subdue that. Let's just lower the anxiety about what's to come by not worrying about what waits in the inbox. You most likely leave work with a to-do list that isn't done yet, and you can leave an email to sit overnight or over the weekend when you're not contracted to be working and answering emails. I thought of five different things that I've told myself in the past, really excuses for why it took me so long to take my work email off my phone. Things like, what if my families can't get the information they need? And a student might have a deadline coming up and I need to be available for them. If you want to read some more about those myths that I have told myself and maybe you've told yourself around this topic, check out the blog post I wrote on this. It's called The 5 Myths You're Believing About Work Email Causing You to Fail at Self-Care. It might as well be a letter to myself, so don't think I'm just saying you and not including myself in that overarching you. It's really hard. I'll link that blog post in the show notes. I'm pausing for a second to tell you about something that's near and dear to my heart. If you're still interviewing, that's cool. I didn't get my first job until mid-summertime after I graduated from grad school. I want you to go to counselorclick.com/interviews to get some interview tips straight to your inbox. I've heard such great things from other counselors in my DMs after they use this free video series resource for themselves. Head to counselorclick.com/interviews to get these free video resources to use yourself. Now, let's get back to the show. Okay, this next boundary feels tougher because it might mean setting some boundaries with those closest to you. It feels awfully personal. But I feel like if you have some go-to strategies and some sample scripts, you'll master it in no time. I'm talking about not texting about work outside of work hours. If you have an iPhone, you can turn on read receipts. I don't know how you say that. I say read receipts, I think. These give the sender a little mention at the bottom of the text if you've read their message or not. I like these for the accountability of answering someone or not answering someone. If you have an Apple Watch, you've probably already noticed this already, but you'll be able to see the whole text come in, but it won't change to read on your phone. You can usually read the first bit of a message in your text inbox, if anything else. This helps me in everyday life respond to messages or just wait on them until I have the time to respond. I can usually predict the people who I'm not texting with constantly who are going to have something work-related to say, you know? The special ed teacher who needs to consult about some paperwork or the AP teacher who needs to follow up about a parent phone call that was made to me. Those things are not urgent, and I will also lose track of them if they're just sent in a message on my phone. So practice your response with me. Thanks, Mrs. Hall. Would you mind sending me an email with that information? I'll get back to you on Monday about it. Or, thanks, Madeline. Shoot me an email with this. I don't want to forget about it, and I'm afraid that in a text message, I will. I'll get back to you first thing tomorrow about that. I love a good sample script. Both of these will let you off the hook from doing work right now, and it puts the ownership back on them to make sure that the ball isn't dropped, since they're the ones who've reached out to you in the first place. You can leave it as simple as that. If you want to go farther, you can tell them that you didn't bring your work computer home, because that's our next tip. Leave your work computer at school so you're not even tempted to check email or do extra work. Megan actually commented on my Instagram with some advice for new counselors. She said, just go ahead and ditch the cute teacher backpack because you'll lug everything home and you'll be too exhausted to open it anyway. Yes, there are seasons where this just can't be done, where you can't leave your computer at school. For example, when you're writing 324 letters of recommendation and scholarship letters on top of that. But truly, for the most part, you can leave your work computer at your desk until tomorrow, and you'll actually survive. It would be so hard to bring your computer home just to scroll on Pinterest and not be tempted to just catch up on a few things or just answer a few emails. Go ahead and remove the temptation altogether. Don't bring it home. Other pros to this when you're looking at a pros and cons list. You get to carry a smaller bag to and from school. No more forgetting your charger somewhere, at home or at school, wherever you don't have it. No feeling bad when someone does text you for information that you can't possibly look up in the system without your computer. It's just plain impossible now. What are your contracted work hours? And do you abide by those? Remember, there is no trophy for being the first one in the parking lot or the last one in the parking lot. I truly got serious about this one when I had my daughter. But I also don't think it's fair that if you don't have kids that you'd be expected to be there earlier or later than anyone else on your team or outside of the contracted work hours. This is something I really stand by and I would advocate for others on my team. You can still work just these hours and be a team player. It is really not healthy to be guilted into working more by being told you're not a team player. I would say that at the high school counseling level, inevitably, you're going to have events in the evenings or maybe even the mornings. If I could plan enough in advance to be in attendance and I could make it work, I would. I just knew that I didn't want to be the lead person in charge of every single one of those events all year. And if we're splitting who is going to what, I don't feel the pressure to be at every single event if we've got it covered by somebody else or there are others on the team who are going to lead that event. So by setting clear expectations at the beginning of the year and with our whole team, we could avoid awkwardness of who is going to be the point person at which event and who is going to be in attendance at each event. It's always helpful to have a team planning day to establish expectations. I will link to a blog post where I explain how I've done that in the past at the beginning of each school year. You can, in fact, set all three of these boundaries and still be a team player who has very intentional and thought-out work-life balance. This will help you not only get burnt out as quickly, but it'll keep you remembering your why you love this job in the first place. Let's put the preventative measures in place to help you emotionally and physically and mentally stay healthy. Let's recap. Three places that you can set personal boundaries to ensure that your work-life balance is in a good place. Number one, take your email off your phone. Number two, redirect your work text to work hours. And number three, keep your contract hours. If you could start implementing these habits, I know that these small changes will lead to big strides in your job satisfaction and the way you get rest and recharge outside of work. Do me a favor, if you like this episode, send it to a friend. Hold each other accountable to trying these things. This can be your counselor buddy who knows what it's like to be in the trenches with you and give you a hand to help pull you out each time you're tempted to overwork yourself into burnout mode. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to today's episode of High School Counseling Conversations. All of the links I talked about today can be found in the show notes and also at counselorclick.com/podcast. Be sure to hit follow or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast so that you never miss a new episode. Connect with me over on Instagram. Send me a DM at counselorclick. That's CLIQUE. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. I'll see you next time.